All right, you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Romans chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 9. I thought it was really cool tonight that God in the manifestations told us that He wants to talk to us, that He wants to show us things with that still small voice, and that He's always there for us. Because tonight I'm going to be sharing on how God is the master teacher, right? How God can show us things. He can work within us. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so these are very familiar verses to us, but this is what the Word of God says about how we become born again, how we become sons of God. And so it's important to remember that you are a son of God. God is your heavenly Father, right? And like any parent, God wants to teach you and to help you, right? He wants to help you reach your fullest potential, right? We as parents with our kids are constantly teaching them and instructing them, constantly. And it's for the purpose or the end goal of helping them to be the best little human beings they can be, right? And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be the best sons of God that we can be, right? You are the only you that God has, right? Just like Elizabeth's the only Elizabeth I have, right? Or Hannah's the only Hannah I have, right? We want to teach them to be the best you they can be. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, and look at the first usage of the word teach. That happens in Exodus chapter 4. We're going to start again in verse 10. This is Moses talking with God. And it says in verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I've never been eloquent, not before and not since. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now the words just don't come to me quick. I'm not a leader, is what he was kind of telling God, because God had told him that he was going to lead his people. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Aren't I the person who made man's mouth? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt what? Say. So this was not Moses' strong suit, right? But it's what God had called Moses to do, and therefore he was going to help him be the best Moses he could be. To help him to be the best leader that he could be. Now Moses did not think he was going to be a great leader. He did not think he was someone who was going to be able to speak to God's people and inspire them. But God said, I will teach you what you're going to say. He's got it covered, right? And that's how our God is with us. He wants us to be the best us's we can be. And he'll teach us in order to help us become that. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12. And God can teach you in a number of different ways. He taught Moses directly by revelation, by speaking directly to him. And another way that God can teach us or show us is from things in his word, because this is also God's revelation to us, right? It might not be audible spoken revelation from God himself in that very instant, but he expects us to know and to understand the revelation that he's given. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord," this is Paul, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am what? Chief." Right, we talked about that last week, what Paul had done to the church. Right? Verse 16, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained" what? "Mercy." For this cause, what he was accomplishing in his ministry was the reason why he obtained mercy. Moses didn't think he was going to be a great leader. God taught him, right? I'm sure that Paul didn't think he'd be a great leader of the church, considering he was killing them. But God taught him. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." And the word "pattern" there is a word for, that basically means it's an outline that should be filled in later, right? Paul's example to us, to the body of Christ, to the church, was a pattern. It was an outline that would be filled in later by all kinds of people, because we've all screwed up big time in our lives, right? We've all sinned greatly, you know, and there's things that we might not like about ourselves or things that we're not proud of. I mean, I don't think anybody here has killed other believers, but the point is that even in that case, look what Paul became to the body, right? Look what Paul was able to accomplish. And so he had plenty of reasons to live his life in guilt and in condemnation, but he put on the word to the degree that he knew his sonship rights, that he claimed his forgiveness and his spiritual righteousness, and that because of all that, he accessed God, his Father and teacher. Right? Because he was able to put on that forgiveness and that righteousness, he was able to access God, who was his Father and teacher, and help him do great things for the body of Christ, even after persecuting them. And we're going to see how that all came about in Acts 22, verse 3. So God's telling us through his word, through this epistle, that he's given us examples in his word, right? Examples that we too can follow for a pattern. So God can show us things directly by revelation, or he can give us instruction and a pattern to follow in his word. Both are ways that he teaches us. Acts 22, verse 3. "I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus." This is Paul describing himself. "A Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, also, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound to Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come near Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Now, did it matter to God where Paul was at in his life when this happened? No. He was not a good guy, right? He was persecuting the church. He was killing men and women of God. But that didn't matter to God. God didn't say, well, maybe this wasn't the right guy. Perhaps I was wrong about old Saul. No. Paul was ready to learn. He was ready to learn. And so God laid it out for him. You can keep your finger here. He talks more about this in a little detail in chapter 26, verse 15. Chapter 26, verse 15 says, And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is the reason I'm showing up, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which you have seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, cause you to see. So the things you have seen and the things I'm going to cause you to see. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Right? And so God laid it out for Paul. He told him right up front, what do you want him to do? Just like he did with Moses. Here's what I want you to do. He told Paul what he could accomplish. He told him what was available for him to accomplish. Did he make Paul do it? No. He didn't. That would not be freedom of will, right? He told Paul what he could accomplish. And he eventually showed Paul the greatness of the mystery, right? And all kinds of fun things. But he showed Paul what his potential was and said, this is what I want you to do. Now it was up to Paul to say, okay, I'm on board with that, right? And that's up to us to do too, right? Like if God shows us what he wants us to know or to do, it's up to us to be like, all right, God, I'm on board. And then he'll keep showing you what you need to know. He showed Paul what he needed to know. He showed Paul how to get the job done, right? That all of Asia would hear the word of God in the span of time that Paul had his ministry, right? That's a huge accomplishment given the time of, you know, history that that took place in. So go back to 22, verse 8. But Paul had to be ready to learn, ready to carry it out. And we know that Paul was zealous to do the word of God. He just didn't realize what the word of God really was, what the true purpose of what he was supposed to do was. He wasn't supposed to beat up the church, he was supposed to grow it and to expand it. Acts 22:8. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And so, in this very moment, Paul asks two amazing questions. He asks, Who are you, Lord? And he asks, What shall I do, Lord? Right? He was ready to go, ready to learn. Who are you, and what do you want me to do? And this is the pattern that we can follow, right? Paul was a pattern for us. Understanding who Christ is and who we are in Christ is critical for carrying that out, right? Who are you, Lord? He wanted to know who Jesus Christ was, and he wanted to know what he was supposed to do. And then he went and did it. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 9. And so that's the pattern that is set forth for us as well. To know who God is, what his Son Jesus Christ accomplished for us, and then what does he want us to do? And there are some things he wants all of us to do. We'll take a look at a couple of those. And there are some things that, you know, that's your individual walk with God. And he will work with you to show you what that is. But Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not, what? Sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Okay? So Paul asked what he can do, and this is a great start, right? To make sure that we really understand the word of God. To seek him with our whole hearts and not wander from his commandments. To hide that word in our hearts. Right? And then God will teach us. He will show us what we need to know. Go to Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 17, 5. Right? So those are things that God wants for all of his kids. For them to understand his word. To hide it in their hearts. So that he can teach us. And a lot of that does deal with understanding his word, right? We've got the Bible. We have it in our hands. If we went to a job and we said, you know, day one, the guy hands you a manual and says, know what's in it, like, understand this manual front to back, right? Know what it says in here. And then once you understand that, come find me and I'll show you what you need to do for your first task. If we went over to him and said, I didn't bother to look at it. What do you want me to do? What kind of reaction would we get, right? He wants us to know what's in there, and then he'll show us the extra, the stuff beyond that, okay? So we have to make his word a priority. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, and makes flesh his arm or his strength, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath or the shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Right? That's a man that doesn't, that, you know, trusts in himself or trusts in other people and not God. It's not a great place to be at. But verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusts in who?
Lord.
The Lord. And whose hope the Lord is. For he, that guy, will be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. You know, that's trouble times. When it gets real hot, when the pressure's on, doesn't even notice it. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Will always be fruitful, always producing. Right? That's the person who trusts in God. So we must absolutely believe that God has our best interests at heart. Right? That's critical. You have to absolutely believe that God wants the best for you. Because then you will trust him. Right? If you were under the care or supervision of someone who you did not think had your best interests at heart, you wouldn't trust them. If you thought your boss was out to get you, making sure you would never get promoted, you would not trust them, right? So we have to absolutely believe that God wants us to be blessed, that He has our best interests at heart. Then we will start to trust Him. And once you trust somebody, then you're super comfortable carrying out what they want you to do, right? Like if you trust that your boss has your best interest at heart and says, hey, if you do this thing, you'll get promoted, and you believe him and think that's what he wants for you, then you do it because you expect to get those results, right? It's the same way with God, right? We'll carry out what God asks us to do if we truly trust him, that he has our best interest at heart and trust him. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10, verse 9. Here's another record of God showing somebody something, teaching them. And this happens to be Peter, my buddy Peter. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigher to the city, Peter went up upon a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, which basically means it happened that he was in great amazement. He saw a vision and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Right? And so a sheet knit at the four corners, if you took the four corners and knit them together, you'd have like that little stork package. You know what I'm talking about? And inside that stork package, it says, verse 12, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. I know you're hungry. I got you this stork package full of meat. That's what he's saying. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Right? They had laws they had to abide by. They couldn't just eat whatever they wanted. It had to be kosher. Verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Don't call it common if God's cleansed it. This was done three times. Sometimes Peter needs some repetition. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself, or considered deeply in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Who said it unto him? The Spirit, God, working in him via Holy Spirit, the nine manifestations, said, taught him something, showed him something, had just shown him the stork package situation, and now it told him that three men were looking after for him. And then told him what to do. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men, which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he who you seek. What is the cause, therefore, you are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that fears God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, the next day, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the next day, the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea. It took a little while to get there. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." And as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "You know how that it is unlawful, it is an unlawful thing, for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or to come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man," what? "Common or unclean." And so this is what God taught Peter, and Peter understood it. Peter got the message. God showed me I should not call any man common or unclean. The law says I should have nothing to do with you. But God has showed me that, you know, he's called you to be something greater, right? And therefore, I should not call you common or unclean. Verse 29, "Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying," without arguing or objection. That is the word gainsaying. And that's important. If we want God to teach us, then we can't argue about it. We can't object to it. We have to carry it out. We have to be like, "Okay, God, that's what I'm going to do." Because Peter understood the law, you know, that he wasn't supposed to go fraternizing with the Gentiles. But he didn't argue with God. He went and did it. "Therefore I came unto you without arguing, and soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore, for what intent have you sent for me?" What is it that you need? He didn't even know why he was going. God told him to go, and he what? Went. That's it. He didn't know why he was going. He had a vision. He kind of understood that this was okay for him to go, that he shouldn't call this person common or unclean, but he didn't know what he was doing there. Right? He just went. And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee.'" Somebody showed up and told me to ask for you and that you would come talk to me. So I brought everybody here and now you can talk to me. Didn't sound like Cornelius knew what exactly was going to be taught to him either. But he did what God told him to do. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth,'" he puts it all together now, "'of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him.'" And so that was the message. That was what he learned and was now taught of God. That God's not a respecter of persons. That if someone fears God and works righteousness, respects God and wants his word, he is accepted of God. And that's what he was doing there. And if you jump to verse 44, it says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost," or Holy Spirit, "fell on all them which," what?
Heard
the word. Right. So he teaches them. They all get born again. They all get born again. Right? And these were not Jews, but Gentiles. Right? Peter gets it. He understands what God's teaching him, and he grows from it. He grows from it. And then all these guys get born again. It's pretty amazing. We're going to close in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So God can show us stuff. He wants to teach us. We're his kids. He wants the best for us. And he wants to help us be the best us as we can be. All we have to do is be ready and willing to learn, listening for that still small voice, and have our hearts in the place where we're ready to take action on what God shows us. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. we can have fellowship with God just like Jesus Christ did, his only begotten Son. We can have that same relationship and that same fellowship as sons of God. And God will be faithful to teach us in the course of that fellowship, to help us to be the best we can be, to live up to our full potential as his son and daughter, or daughter of God.